A very good day to all of you and welcome back to We School's distance learning program on marketing management. Our topic for today is chapter 6, marketing information systems and marketing research. Let us quickly review what the learning objectives of this chapter are. We are going to understand what is marketing information systems. We are going to define marketing research and understand what is the importance of marketing research in decision-making process. We will enumerate the steps involved in doing a market research assignment. We will also understand how to define and solve marketing problems. We will know what are the different sources of information in terms of the primary and secondary data. We will also try and observe and understand the role of observing, questioning, and using the experimental methods of marketing research. Finally, we will try and understand what is the concept and purpose of a marketing decision support system and comparative intelligence to marketing management. Having said this, let us start with what is marketing information. Marketing information or marketing intelligence is the lifeblood of marketing decision making. Marketing information is nothing but the everyday information about the developments that are taking place in the marketing environment and with the customers and competition that managers require to prepare, adjust, and fine-tune their marketing plans. It is the systematic gathering, storing, analyzing, and retrieval of information pertinent to marketing and marketing decision making, which creates a system called the Marketing Decision Support System or the DSS. Marketing information system is nothing but a set of procedures and sources and systems used by managers to obtain everyday information about the developments in the marketing environment and how they impact their marketing strategy. MIS is based on the fundamental truth that knowledge is power, and a deep understanding of the factors and parameters that are changing in the marketing environment can lead us to better decisions. A marketing information system therefore determines what information managers need and then systematically gathers, sorts, analyzes, stores, and distributes the relevant information in a timely manner to the relevant stakeholders. Please note that different people or different people in the marketing department may require different pieces of marketing information, and the MIS will differentiate between the differing needs of these stakeholders in the MIS system. A marketing decision support system is nothing but the system or the hardware and software that is collectively used for creating what is called a marketing decision support system. Typically, the DSS is an interactive, flexible information gathering system that enables managers to obtain information, store information, and analyze and manipulate the information to enable them to take their day-to-day decisions regarding marketing strategies. The key components of a typical decision support system is, or the key components of a typical decision support system are inputs in terms of external and internal sources of data and information, then the processing of this information in terms of classifying, storing, indexing, retrieving, and standard reports or outputs, which is the information that is required for the decision-making process by different stakeholders in the marketing department. Of course, there is a feedback mechanism which allows you to adjust the entire decision support system from time to time to suit the changing requirement and needs of both the marketing department and the organization. The key components of a decision support system is typically data, then it is computer, hardware, and software, and MIS experts who can handle this information and data and generate reports which are used for the day-to-day decision making by the sales and the marketing department of the organization. A typical marketing decision support system also includes an analytical and interactive software that allows the managers to conduct their own analysis and research. MIS versus an MDSS, which is marketing information system versus a marketing decision support system. What do you think are the differences? Think about it. Write down these answers as a part of an exercise, as a part of your exercise. Let us look at what is data warehousing and mining. A data warehouse is nothing but an information system which stores data in certain predetermined formats and structures, which allows customized analysis by the stakeholders. Data mining is a process in which the analyst sifts through all the data that is available in the data warehouse to identify unique and different patterns of behavior among different customer groups, among different target audiences, among different product users, to understand how they can be tapped for more sales and higher market share. Many companies who are advanced in their market research systems and approaches have this as an integral part of their decision-making system. Typically, the analytics, the information that is stored in the data warehouse, the analysis is basically done to understand how we can acquire more customers, how can we identify the customer and profile those customers better, how can we reach out to those customers, how can we attract new customers, how can we retain the existing mix of customers. Can we also use the same data to find out loss of customers or why customers are not coming back for repeat purchase? And finally, we use this information for market basket analysis to understand which categories of products are moving fast, which categories of products are moving slow, what product lines sell in which seasons, which product lines sell better in some months, day of the week of the month, and so on and so forth, so that we are able to analyze the trends in the way the products are moving in the market. Let us look at the types of information that a typical manager in the marketing or sales department will require for his planning and decision making on a day-to-day basis. So let's look at this information divided into certain categories. So let us look at the first type of information needs is about the customer, the buyer characteristics and behavior. Who is my customer? What is the profile of customer to whom I am selling my product? And what is the profile of the customer for whom my product is an obvious choice? Where does my customer buy? Who buys? Who pays for this purchase? Who is the key influencer? How do I determine the influencers and how do I reach out to the influencers of this purchase? What is the purchase method, which is how do the customer buys? Does he prefer to tell his servant at home to make the purchase on behalf of him? Or does he go to the store himself and makes the purchase? Does he prefer to go to a retail outlet where the ambience is and the shopping experience is very good for the purchase? Or does he prefer to buy online through the internet? What is the quantity of purchase that my average customer is doing? What are the quantities that are buying? Is he buying 1 kg at a time? Is he buying half a kg? If he's buying 2 kgs? What is the frequency of purchase? Does this customer buy on a daily basis? Does he buy once in 2 days? Does he buy once a week? Does he buy once in a fortnight? Does he buy once a month? Does he buy once a quarter? So the frequency of the purchase. More critical than these are the characteristics of the current customer. Is my customer profile changing? And what are the characteristics of my customer likely to be in the future? Hence, what kind of products and services will the changing customer profile need in future? Satisfaction. The job of marketing is to create satisfied and delighted customers. So, is my customer satisfied with my product and service? What is the customer satisfaction level? Is it average? Is it below average? Or is it above average? What can I do to increase my customer satisfaction level in order to improve my chances of retaining the customer for my product and brand? Let us look at the market characteristics. The manager, the marketing manager or the sales manager also needs a lot of information about the market. Starting with, what are the different segments in the market? What is the segmental demand pattern? And what is the segmental growth forecast? What means that each segment, what is the market, what is the potential of the segment and how is that segment likely to grow over the next 3 to 5 years? What is the pattern of demand in these segments? Is the demand elastic, inelastic, price sensitive, not price sensitive? Are there any technological trends in the market which will create new products or which may force me to develop new products and launch them in the market? And finally, what are the future trends in the market? Related to market is an area of research which we call competitive intelligence or competition research. Who are my key competitors? What are their strategies? How do they plan their marketing programs and strategies? What kind of resources are available to my competitor? And what are the factors that are making some of my competitors more successful than me in the market? What are the major strengths and weaknesses of the competition? And are there any likely new entrants in the market? Another area of competitive research also focuses on upcoming and new substitute products. Substitute products can impact the demand for my products and therefore my market share in that segment very significantly. So what are the substitute products getting into the market is also a part of the competitive research. The next type of information that a typical manager needs is the information on general environment. What are the economic conditions and trends? In terms of GDP, in terms of inflation, in terms of recession, in terms of interest rates, etc. What are the government regulations? Is the government likely to come up with some legislation that impacts that manager's market or segment? What are the political trends? Is there an election on the horizon? Is there a new political party likely to come to power at either the central or the state government? What are the pollution, safety, and environmental concerns of the customer? How will a trend like global warming impact my product or brand? So, for example, I'm a consumer durable company. If I'm making air conditioning equipment, or I'm making refrigerators, or I'm making computers, how does the global warming impact my product category? What are the technological trends? Is there a new technology coming in? For example, in television industry, you have the LCD and LED televisions that are coming in as a new technological trend. For example, in the computer industry, the tablets are getting replacing the notebooks as a future source of application. So what are the trends that can impact my product category in future are an important part of the manager's information needs. Related to the general environment, an analysis of the internal environment of the organization. So what are the marketing resources and skills? What are the production resources and skills? What are the R&D resources and skills? What are the financial resources and skills available to the organization? And basis this understanding, what are my strengths and weaknesses as an organization? What strengths can I leverage? And what steps can I take to overcome my weaknesses are a very critical part of the manager's overall understanding of the internal environment. So coming to the marketing mix, which consists of the four P's of marketing: product, price, place and promotion. The marketing manager or the sales manager requires a lot of information about the product. What are the product attributes, benefits that are important to the customer? He needs this to do what is called the FAB way of selling, which is features, attributes and benefits. The sales manager or the marketing manager has to convert the features and attributes of a product into specific benefits for different customer groups. How can I differentiate my product? What is the product positioning that I have in the market? And how does the market perceive my product and positioning to be? What are the buying variables for this product category? What are the triggers for purchase? How important are service, warranty, service level agreements, etc. for the selling or marketing of this product? Is there a need for a new product or a new product line? How important is packaging and how attractive is my packaging vis-a-vis competition? And overall, how does the market perceive my product offering compared to the competition? In terms of place, how should I reach out to the market? Which distributor or what type of distributors can handle this product or this product category? What is the structure of the channel for the competition? Do I have an optimal channel structure in terms of length, reach and effectiveness? What are the channel requirements in terms of attitudes and in terms of motivation to handle and manage this product? What is the intensity of the wholesale and retail coverage needed? What kind of discounts, commissions and margins that the channel will require to keep them motivated to sell this product? And what are the different kinds of physical distribution, logistics, supply chain management, network of warehouses that are needed to plan effective distribution of this product? Price, which is the part of the marketing mix. What is the price level that this product commands in the market? Am I viewed as a supplier of a superior product or a me too product or a below average product? Can I command a premium in the market for my product or service? What kind of pricing policy should I have for this product category in terms of the final price to the customer, what kind of discounts and commissions that the channel network will have, what is the handling charge that I have to pay, and therefore what is the net price that I will command in the market? How can I establish price variations for different product variants that I may have? How are we going to react to a competitive price threat? If the competition is going to reduce the price or increase the price, what is going to be our organization's approach to that? How important price is in the overall purchase process of the customer, or how important the price will be to the customer as far as the purchase is concerned. And finally, what should be my trigger for changing my price? How can I be a price leader in the market? Coming to promotion, which is the fourth P of marketing. What is the right promotional budget? How much is competition spending to promote this product in the market? Whether it is in the form of advertising, whether it is for personal selling, whether it is for public relations, or whether it is for sales promotions. How important is sales promotion in triggering sales or triggering purchases? What is the appropriate product or promotion mix? How much of the promotion mix, what percentage of the promotion mix should be advertising? How much should be PR? How much should be below the line promotional activities? How can we improve and measure the effectiveness of the different promotion tools that we are using in the market? Is my advertising effective? Are people able to recall my advertising? Is the copy or the matter or the content of the advertisement effective in giving the right message to the target audience? And finally, what media is most effective depending on the media graphic profiling of my customer? What media does my customer normally read, listen, or get into? And how can I get into these media so that I have his attention and mind share at all the times? Performance measures, very critical to marketing. The understanding of the performance of the product, of a product line, of a product mix, of a brand, of the entire branding is very critical to understanding and measuring the success of the marketing strategy. So what are the current sales of the product by product line, by geography, by customer groups, by segments? What are the market shares that we enjoy in different product lines and different geographies? What are the current sales, market share by customer type, geography, region, location, country, etc.? What is our image? What is top of mind recall for the customer in terms of our brand positioning? And what is the awareness level of our promotion? Is the information that the customer typically, that the marketing manager or the sales manager typically requires on a day-to-day basis to measure what is happening in the market and how effective the marketing strategy of the organization is? Continuing the performance measures, what is the recall level of our brand name? In fact, many companies measure what is top of mind recall of a brand name with their customer groups. What percentage of distributorship do we have in the market in terms of small, medium, and large channels? What percentage of the channel is undercutting the prices by selling below the MRP or the maximum retail price? What are the average discounts that the channel is passing on to the customers to stimulate demand? What is the satisfaction level? What are called CSAT scores? And what percentage of customers are likely to churn away from our company and brand? And what percentage of customers are likely to repeat the purchase? Are typical planning information needed for planning and control of the marketing process. Let us now understand what is marketing research. Marketing research is the process of defining a marketing problem or an opportunity, systematically collecting and analyzing information to understand the opportunity or the problem and recommending a course of action to improve the organization's marketing mix. The end result of a marketing research exercise is obviously to either increase market share or improve customer satisfaction or improve competitive position in the market. A typical marketing research process, and what is the role in the marketing management process? You have a set of independent variables which cause, and a set of dependent variables which create an effect. The marketing mix, which consists of the product, price, place and promotion, are the controllable part of the independent variable. The situational factors in terms of the political, economic, social, cultural, technological and legal factors, the competition, the demand, are what we call the uncontrollable factors of the dependent variable. The controllable factors and the uncontrollable factors typically create what we call a behavioral response in the customer. The customer may go through a process of awareness of the product, knowledge, liking, may have preferences, an intention to buy and a purchase situation. And finally, we have performance measures which measure the sales, market share, revenue, ROI, cash flow, image, recall, repurchase intention, churn rates, attrition rates, etc. And this is how the entire process of marketing research within the overall marketing management process operates. There are three broad types of marketing research. The first one is descriptive, which is typically gathering and presenting the statement of facts in the market as they currently exist. The second type of marketing research is diagnostic. The objective of the diagnostic market research is to explain reasons why certain things are happening and reasons why certain things are not happening. So, for example, you have launched a product. This product is doing very well in one region and not doing very well in another region. The role of the diagnostic marketing research in this case will be to explain why the product is doing well in region A and why the product is not doing well in region B. The third type of marketing research is predictive. In this case, marketing research attempts to forecast or give a future picture of things that are likely to happen, shape of things to come. It paints a scenario of the future based on certain factors and trends which exist in the market today. So this is a predictive type of marketing research. Let us understand what are the steps involved in doing a marketing research exercise. There are six steps in the marketing research process, starting with what is the decision situation or what is the marketing problem that you want to understand in detail. The second step is defining this decision situation or marketing problem. The third step is to evaluate and understand the third step is to identify alternative courses of action. The fourth step is to evaluate all the courses of action. The fifth one is to select a market research method or a course of action. And finally, implement and modify this basis your experience in the market. So typically, it has six steps in doing the research. A typical decision-making process or a marketing research problem, after you have identified the six steps, will create a marketing mix, will understand the situational factors, and will be based on certain information, will have certain information inputs, which may come from primary and secondary sources of data, and from your market research system, and the final decision will be on the basis of management experience and judgment to come to a final conclusion on what is the future course of action in that particular situation or marketing problem. Now, as we said earlier, the key role of research is in understanding the internal and the external environment in order to enable the sales and marketing manager to create the marketing mix in terms of product, price, place and promotion. Now, in order to do that, let us look at the kinds of data that are available to a typical marketing person. Data is nothing but facts and figures that are pertinent to a problem. There are two types of data. We have the secondary data, which is facts and figures that were available prior to the project or the marketing research problem that you have identified. And you have primary data, which is facts and figures which are newly collected for the project. Now, in terms of secondary data, again, we have two data sources. We have internal data sources, which is data sources existing within the company. These may include financial statements, these may include research reports, customer letters, the daily sales call reports of the salesperson and customer data that we have picked up as a result of collecting and getting so many customer orders. Then there are external data which is available outside the company in terms of statistical reports published by the government. There are trade association reports published by CII, FICCII, or if there are industry specific reports which are published by industry associations. For example, NASSCOM publishes information about the IT and ITES industry. The Automotive Component Manufacturers Association of India publishes information pertaining to the automotive component industry in India, so on and so forth. There may be business magazines and business and trade magazines which may be carrying external pieces of information, and there could be commercial reports in which information is available about the market. Coming to primary data has two different methods of collection. One is called the observation method, which is typically watching people. Now, you may watch people personally by what are called human approaches, where the person may go into a shopping outlet or go to a retail mall and understand how customers are taking their purchase decisions. You may also get observational data from mechanical and electronic devices. So, for example, the TRP of television is measured by a device which finds out which programs you're watching and for how long, depending on what the customer clicks on his remote, TV remote. Similarly, you can get a lot of primary data by what is called questionnaires or asking people. There are questionnaires which are conducted either personally, telephonically, or through the internet, through which a lot of information about a product, market, or a customer target group is typically understood and generated. Now, let us look at the secondary data sources. The internal sources of secondary data are company profit and loss statements, company balance sheets, company sales figures, sales call reports, invoices, inventory records, and all prior research reports. Then there are government publications. Typically in India, you have the Central Statistical Organization, the CSO, which publishes a whole range of statistical information pertaining to India. Again, on a variety of parameters, which could be economic, which could be social, which could be technological. The National Council of Applied Economic Research publishes a lot of demographic data related to the Indian population. Then there are industry outlooks published by various ministries within the government and also by trade organizations related to that industry. Then you have the economic outlook published by the finance ministry in India. Continuing the secondary data sources, you have books and periodicals. You have business magazines. You have the Center for Monitoring Indian Economy, CMIE, which generates a whole lot of information across India, across the economy of the country, across various industries and categories. Then you have crisis reports. Then you have industry reports like NASSCOM, CII, Indian Merchants Chamber. And finally, you have the internet and Google giving you a host of secondary information. So let us now understand the primary data sources and how we collect primary information for a marketing research project or assignment. The first method of collecting information in the primary market on the primary information data source is by interview method. The interview can happen personally by professional trained interviewers, or the interview can be done through a postal method. And now, because of the internet, we have interviews happening online through a questionnaire. What are the advantages and disadvantages of a personal interview process? Looking at the advantages of the personal interview process, the first thing is you can find respondents who are willing to be a part of the research. You can get in-depth answers from these respondents, because this is a one-to-one method of collecting information. A lot of qualitative information is collected from small sample sizes. Questions can be modified based on the response you are getting from the respondent. It is flexible, can allow for reaction, and visual information and observation actually improves the accuracy of this method. It is possible that you develop a rapport with the customer, and therefore he may be willing to give you a lot more information than the questionnaire may have asked for. The disadvantage is this is a very slow, time-consuming, expensive process. Professional interviewers are expensive to hire. Because the interviewer is professional, a lot of interviewer bias can creep into the questioning process. People or respondents may not be easily available at home and or office to do to give you information. Sometimes this leads to invasion of privacy, and disagreements on the method or the questions can arise. Contrast this with the postal survey, where typically you design a questionnaire and post it or mail it to your respondent, expecting him to reply back to you. You include a reply paid envelope to enable him to easily respond back to you. Now, the best advantage of this method is it is very, very economical, because it does not cost too much to reach out to a large sample of respondents. There are no travel expenses. There is no possibility of interviewer bias, because the respondent can fill the questionnaire at his leisure and in his own privacy. The postal survey method is genuinely random, because we don't know who is going to respond back from this. And the other advantage is it can be completely anonymous. So the possibility of getting honest and first-hand information is very, very good in this method. The disadvantages in the postal survey method is the non-response rate is very high, typically range from 2% to max 10%, unless the questions are very short, simple, and not too probing. The personal survey method takes very long, because it is very difficult to estimate the time by which the respondent will respond to your questionnaire. It is inflexible, there is no observation possible, and therefore some of the accuracy could be compromised on. It is also difficult and expensive to obtain absolutely complete and up-to-date mailing lists, which are very critical to the postal survey method in general. The third method of attempting to get information is through the telephone survey. Now, the telephone survey is a survey that is done on a one-to-one basis through the medium of a telephone call. The advantages of this method: it is very easy to administer, it is quick, there are no travel costs, it is cheap, because it only involves the cost of making a telephone call. It is flexible because it allows time for reaction and some in-depth answers. It allows the interviewer to modify the questions basis the response the interviewer is getting from the respondent, and it allows some level of anonymity to the respondent. The disadvantages in this case, you have to hire professional interviewers, which are expensive. It leads to invasion of privacy, and it leads to the charges of pesky calls or crank calls. It is difficult to develop trust on the phone. This method necessarily requires convenient sampling, and it is not therefore genuinely random sampling. It is limited to respondents with telephones. Non-response rates in the telephone survey methods are also high because of engaged telephones, no answer, and refusal to respond being one of the reasons for creating the low response rate. The fourth method of collecting primary information is by using the internet survey method. The internet has turned out to be the cheapest and the most pervasive form of communication to your customer groups and to respondents at large. Again, the advantages of this is it's easy to administer, quick, there are no travel costs, absolutely cheap, flexible. However, questions cannot be modified in the interview method on the internet. The disadvantages are there is no observation. It is restricted to people who have access to internet. Again, non-response rate can be very high because the person may choose not to respond back to you. So this is another method of getting information. And finally, we have the fourth method of getting information, which is the focus group method. In the focus group approach, you get a group of people numbering 10 to 15 or 20 maximum, who come together in a room and are given the topic to discuss on, the marketing problem to discuss on. So in the focus group, the discussion of the group gives you the responses or the answers that you're looking at from the marketing research. Now, there is informality and personal rapport. However, group dynamics play a very important role in focus groups. So there are some members of the group who are very, very dynamic or very dominant. They may tend to, you know, stifle the other people in the group. Questions can be modified. The moderator who is managing the focus group can adjust the questions based on the direction in which the focus group is moving. Can be done on regular basis. One can observe and record all the responses and reactions. And it is available for viewing later to understand how the focus group went. How the disadvantages: the scope and sample of focus group is limited. It is very costly to get a group into a room and, you know, manage the infrastructure and other expenses of the group and the travel costs of the group. And many times it may not be treated seriously. So these are broadly the primary sources of information that we have. The other sources of primary research come from marketing research, come from suppliers of marketing research. You can have students or professors from management schools to design and carry out marketing research projects. You can use the internet. You can do competitive interviewing, which is interviewing of your competitors' employees to get information. There are syndicated market research companies who do a research on a particular topic and sell the research to all the companies in that industry. There are customized marketing research companies, and there are specialty line market research firms who will also do research and give you the information pertaining to your market and product category. Thanking you.